focus on cloud, colocation, data center industry trends, and dynamic market.
Hey, I'm David Liggett with Data Center Hawk, and I'm so excited today to be joined by Chris Rexiner and Tom Kiblin. Chris is Vice President of Marketing, and Tom is the Vice President of Cloud and Managed Services with Deft. And it has been a very busy time for their company over the last few weeks, and we're going to talk about it here today. But before we do that, I would love to get both of your backgrounds in the data center industry. So Chris, I want to start with you. How did you get into this space?
So at a personal level, I've been involved in technology throughout my career, and it actually began in my very first job was working in the Bell telephone system. So back when they were divesting Bell into the regional operating companies, and began doing central office-based services at that point in time. And then, which is eons ago and dating myself, they didn't call it a data center. It was a central office. And we were working with organizations that were looking at putting equipment into those central offices in order to offer shared services or to provide the highest level of quality of service that they could. And that was the best, right? The most, the safest, most performant place you could put it. And really from there, it evolved into the, with the evolution of the internet, with the evolution of the web, as organizations look to move new applications online. And how do you do so? How do you make them widely distributable? And how do you ultimately deliver a quality of service and a quality of the overall experience that matters, right? That you can be proud of and that your customers can ultimately be proud of. And that's what brought me to Deft a little over 8 years ago now, was seeing the opportunity and the challenges that the business had to really go through the transition that you're seeing come to fruition now as Deft, you know, at Server Central at the time, but really seeing something new and something innovative that is driving change in our clients' businesses by being outcome focused. And I think that that's kind of the biggest part we're going through right now. Really, that's the overall transition, is that it is about so much more than the data center itself, but that evolution has been an evolution everyone's gone through, right? It didn't happen overnight. Yep. It's been at the same pace for every organization, and we're just in tune with that.
Yeah. And Tom, I would imagine that, you know, you're right in the middle of like customer outcomes for Deft and helping them as you're thinking through migration services with them. But talk to us about your background in this industry and how did you get to Deft?
Sure. So I've been much like Chris in this my entire career. It's kind of interesting. I'm out here in Washington, D.C. It's the two-story concrete jungle capital of the world, if you will, right? All data centers here. So I actually started selling hardware to ISPs way back when. And I was one of the early folks that was able to tour a building called Equinix DC1 out here in Ashburn.
Oh, yeah.
When Equinix got started. And it was the first time I've seen a data center at that sort of magnitude, right? And I just fell in love with it. So left the vendor world. I started a number of businesses that focused on hosting and managed services and network connectivity and stuff like that. And fast forward through all of that, and I joined the Server Central, now Deft team here, about 7 years ago. And I've held a number of different roles here, from managed services to running the sales engineering organization. And now I'm sort of back into managed services more on the strategic side and focused mainly customer facing, if you will, working with customers to solve some of their larger technology problems and figure out how we can, you know, fit that in one of our product solutions. So.
Well, I think it's always really interesting when you have long tenured professionals at different companies, and it certainly, I think, speaks to the quality of company and leadership when you have you know, individuals that have been around at companies for a long time. And it seems like there's been a very big change over the last few weeks, which you all both referenced. Chris, talk about going through this rebranding from Server Central to Deft. And, you know, what was kind of the mindset behind wanting to make that change?
Sure. Well, I had a full head of hair when we started this. so that'll tell you kind of how that process goes. But in all seriousness, you know, if you've been through a company naming process for a net new organization, or like we did, a name change process, you know that it's never easy, right? There's a million moving pieces. There's a lot to evaluate. There's a lot to understand about your organization, and what you think you know about your organization is a fraction of what you really know. And these processes bring that to light, where you really do learn a lot about yourself that you were not aware of. And for us as an organization, it was really time, because Server Central, while a tremendously well-recognized and respected brand, represented where the organization was and the solving of problems, really the delivery of technology. And as we evolved and really sort of culminating with the Turing Group acquisition in 2018, we became focused on outcomes, and it moved from much more than the data center to business value, to truly integrating what we do with the business itself, not just the technical components, not just the infrastructure. And as we ramped up the delivery of hybrid cloud environments and got into more consulting and software development and all of these areas that our clients were asking for our help in, the server piece really didn't do justice to who we are and what we were about. And as those questions evolved, we started asking ourselves difficult questions too, which is, are we properly positioning ourselves? Are we named correctly? Are we defining and presenting ourselves in the way that our clients see us, in the way that we really do deliver? And the answer to that, honestly, is no, right? And those are difficult conversations to have, but they're really important. And so as our clients' asks became so much more strategic, as Tom mentioned, really getting in and solving very complex problems, you know, pursuing really big opportunities, we realized that we need to change too. And that's what our brand had to do. So at its core, those were the driving factors. And what we did is like any organization, right? You go to the drawing boards, you get whiteboards, you get clean walls, and you just go and you start looking at every possible name and every permutation you can. And really what happened for us is that we went through so many, and there were a couple names and concepts that pulled forward, and Deft was one of them. And as we kept moving down the pipeline, it would, you'd see five more added and Deft would move. And you'd see those fall away and new ones come in and Deft would move. And all of a sudden, from all of this research, we looked at it and we said, this kind of reflects who we are. So we did some testing. We loved that it was four letters, that it was not an acronym. We're no longer SCTG, right? It's a word.
Sure.
It's a word that's in the dictionary, right? It's a great short domain. And it just, it felt right. It felt like who we are, what we're about, and the way that we try to operate, right? The way that we want to really be focused on skillfully delivering for our clients in the most intelligent and the most expedient ways possible.
That makes a lot of sense. The, you know, you talked about how the clients have been changing over the last, you know, 5 years. And I think it's one of the biggest things that's impacted our industry, you know, the most as it relates to delivering services and creating solutions that really like speak to the end user's need, not just at the time, but needs that could be down the road in the future. Tom, I know you spend a lot of your time focused on how to deliver those solutions. And one of the things I wanted to get your perspective on was this combination of cloud services and colocation, and how customers today are going about, you know, blending those two amounts or those two services together. You know, what's your experience right now with that, with the customers that you all have, and are you seeing them gravitate towards, you know, all cloud, some colocation? What does that look like today?
Yeah, it's a little bit of all the above. Actually, in some of the reverse too, right? We've had a number of customers that have jumped both feet into the cloud and realized a year later that it, I don't want to say a mistake, but it was a mistake. And we've moved them back into a data center environment for a number of reasons. But a lot of our customers today are pretty much hybrid. Almost every discussion, if not every discussion I have all week long with customers and prospects, there's some aspect of cloud associated with that discussion. Right. And as an example, some of our customers today are using, you know, our data center services for their static, high performance, high IO type workloads inside of our data center. And they might be using, you know, Azure AWS for things like AI and ML, which are pretty much non-static ephemeral type workloads. We have another large customer that has a huge footprint with us today, and they use GCP, if you will, for a lot of their GPU processing. Right, where it makes sense, right? It's elastic, it's, you know, 10, 12 hours a day, and then it goes away. So environments like that. We also have customers that are dipping their toes into the cloud and trying to figure out how it's going to fit their business, right? So they're doing things like test and dev in the cloud. A lot of customers are figuring out or getting to the point where it's time to re-architect their application, right? And with Kubernetes and containers and things like that being the hot buttons today, how do they do that, right? So they might be playing with AWS or Azure services for that. And we also have customers that are, you know, born and raised in the cloud only, who don't have any sort of data center environment with us, right? And for those customers, we're trusted advisors, we're consultants. We help them make the right decisions. If it's simple as just doing things like billing audits to full code type, you know, auditing and consulting services and things like that, as well as a lot of customers that have are in our facilities also using cloud for DR, right? So it becomes a DR landing point for them. So if we have somebody in the Washington DC market and, you know, they need some DR services, right, for their critical workloads, you know, they can do that pretty easily on Azure and AWS. So it runs the gamut. And also a lot of our customers who are colo only type customers also have connectivity into AWS and Azure, right, for various reasons, whether using S3 or CloudFront or some of the CDN services that they offer. So yeah, it's pretty interesting because, you know, like I said, every discussion has some element of cloud to it, right? And that's where we can come in, and that's where we really shine, is figuring out, okay, what makes the most sense for those customers, and offer our guidance and, you know, recommendations and give them past experiences for customers that might have, you know, been in the same spot they're in today. So.
And how does a, from y'all's perspective, how does a customer go about making sure or evaluating like what works best for them, colocation or cloud? Like what, you know, what are the basic evaluations that they need to do to be in a position to either report back to their team on, hey, this is what we should go do, or to really like understand these are the implications of both of these decisions? What do they need to do to get it right?
So yeah, I don't think it's just an easy answer for that, Dave, right? It's a multi-step process. It really really requires understanding not only what they have, where they want to go. There's also user adoption that has to factor into that, right? I think that's a huge value prop and differentiator for Deft, right? We can objectively have those discussions with customers today, right? You'll see a lot of customers talk to you know, companies that might just be pure play cloud providers, right? And the difference there is, you know, for folks like that, if the only tool you have is a hammer, then every problem, you know, looks like a nail at that point, right? We can go into that conversation completely objective, say, hey, you know, these workloads belong in a data center environment, right? They belong either in a colo environment or an infrastructure that we're going to provide you for these reasons, right? And we'll back that up. These workloads are perfectly suited for running on a public cloud environment, right? And the differentiator for us is we can connect those together. It's one throat to choke, right? One support team, one organization they have to deal with. And we can manage that infrastructure wherever it lives, whether it lives, you know, inside of one of our data centers or it lives on a public cloud environment. So,
you know, the one piece I would add to that, Tom, that I think is really important, and you touched on it in the beginning of your answer, is that it's where are you and where do you want to go? And it's right. The planning, right? The success of all of this. And we've written and talked a lot about this almost to the point of we're kind of tired of hearing ourselves talk about it, but it really matters. And it's that planning process. It's where are you? Where do you want to go? And what is the blueprint that you need to put in place, right? What are you going to follow to do that?
Right.
And a lot of times people, you know, and Tom's doing a really good job of underselling this, but people want to move really fast to those cloud services. Like they want to do it. They want to do it now. It's like, why? Don't know. Don't care. Want to do it because it's cool and everybody's talking about it. But when you take that step back and you go through that planning process, it's difficult. It's hard to slow somebody down and have them understand that it is in their best interest to take that deep breath,
right.
Understand it, and now go forward. And I think what matters and what really is the delineator of success is that planning. You know, how deep is that pause? How much time and attention do you put into that plan? Because the more you put into it, the higher your success rate. And when it is rushed, it's very unlikely you're going to get where you want to go. And again, very difficult conversations to have because nobody wants to do that. They want to go, they want to move.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The other part
Oh, go ahead, Tom.
And the other part of that is, what's the driving factor, right? To Chris's point, is it because it's on the headline of every trade reg they read? So the CIO said, we need to be in the cloud. You know, been there, done that with customers, right? And a year later, their bill is tripled, right? And they're like, okay, now what do we do, right? So I don't know if it's a word, but we've declouded a couple of customers over the years, right? And brought them back into a data center environment. Not because the cloud wasn't a great offering or the, you know, a good product or anything, just it was the wrong fit for what they were doing, right? A lift and shift and just moving your workloads to the cloud, that's, you know, that's not the right approach, right? You really need to step back, plan this out, understand, like Chris said, where you are, what are the applications, how are they going to move, what are the applications going to look like in 3 or 4 years, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to tie those applications into some of the services from an AWS or an Azure? Or are you going to just lift and shift VMs, right? So there's a lot more that goes into it, right? To Chris's point, it's how do you slow the customer down enough to really think through all of it versus just, you know, the jumping on the train, if you will, the hype. So,
yeah, I think the one thing that has always stuck out to me is how hard it is for companies to not only get their arms around what they have today and what the present environment really looks like. I think that alone is a big challenge. And Chris, to your point on the slowdown, let's just figure out where we are. And then also too, then to really consider the future and does what I'm planning for and who I'm working with today set me up for a successful, you know, partnership or successful, whatever, you know, whatever it might be from a network perspective or, you know, growing into certain cloud applications down the road. And I think that's been the interesting thing for me is to watch organizations. Some do it really well and maybe some do it poorly. And I'm sure you all have sat in a lot of those conversations where you've got to back some people up and say, hey, you might make this decision now, but the ramifications of that 3 years, 5 years from now aren't what you want. What do you think about, talk about the Deft portfolio, and you all have multiple, you know, like physical data centers in, you know, markets that are major data center markets, but just talk about how over the last, you know, 5 years or so, you've continued to grow the portfolio of data centers within the company.
Sure. So, I mean, our portfolio ranges from traditional, you know, ping power pipe, right? That's the foundation and the roots of this company back 21 years in the Chicago market. And it grew to be our largest footprint. Obviously, at the time, we were doing a lot of transitions out of Equinix in Chicago. So we took advantage of that time early on. But now we have facilities all over the globe, right? And we're a little bit different than some of these larger publicly funded data center providers, right? We tend to go where our customers want us to go instead of build it and hope we can sell it. You know, so that's, we did things like that in Sydney and Brazil and Tokyo and Amsterdam, right? It all began with a customer request. Hey, we love what we have with you in the US. We're expanding to Brazil or Sydney. You know, do you guys offer services there, right? So we'll tend to take that approach to opening up new locations, right? And then once we get that location going and our processes defined and things worked out, you know, we open up the kimono, if you will, and sell that to other customers, right? So, but the portfolio is traditional ping power pipe all the way through, you know, MSP, traditional MSP services for AWS or fully managed MSP services for AWS. And I'll let Chris talk about some of the certifications we have there, right? And it ranges from all the traditional white glove services, so DR, backup as a service, managed firewall and security. We do a lot of connectivity, a lot of IP transit and transport for customers. In the Chicago market specifically, we have a lot of customers with their HQs there that have a big data center footprint with us. And we manage and take care of connectivity back to their HQ for them, right? And then obviously we have our own private backbone connecting our facilities together so we can do unique things around that technology as well. So summarize it, you know, we don't go build facilities and hope then we can, you know, sell that to other customers, right? We're very much privately held, privately funded, you know, which is a good thing and allows us to, you know, once we solve a customer problem, I'm sure if that customer had that problem, there's other customers that have those problems. Then we go through the process of productizing that and offer that to other customers.
Exactly. And for those locations, you know, Tom, you made such a great point. Our clients leading us that direction. And there's really one commonality, and that is connectivity. So where we have our facilities located today is really, where are those key peering points for the internet around the world? Where is latency removed from the process, where we can put our knowledge and experience on top of that foundation and make it the best possible experience for our clients and give them a foundation they can use to scale their business? And as we move into those other services, right, as that portfolio grows, it really becomes a function of the challenges that their business engages, like our clients' business engage. That's what led us to the managed services environment. Quite frankly, that's what led us from servers to co-location, and from co-location to network, and from, you know, network to a global footprint, and on down that line, right, is we're just working in partnership with their clients. And, you know, Tom mentioned something that I think is really important for us as an organization, and it's that we are privately held. Right? We don't have to enter into something because someone wants to say they have a portfolio company that does this. We do what we need to do in order to serve our clients at the best of our ability to achieve their objectives. And that's an easy thing to say, and it's a very hard thing to do, to continue to execute in that way. But our solution portfolio very much grows in that manner, right? We will typically know of opportunities that a client wants to pursue, and then that topic will come up. We'll jointly pursue that. We'll see how that can potentially be productized as something other organizations can use. And if it can, then it goes into that portfolio. And if it doesn't, that's okay. And that's going to happen too.
How many customers today, and maybe it's more of a percentage, or hey, it's every customer we're talking to. Tom, you mentioned that, you know, almost all conversations have some element of cloud, you know, in it, from us solving the solution side of things. How many of them have like a global, you know, approach to what they're doing, you know, versus just here in the US? I'm always interested in like how companies are thinking through their global challenges. So do you find that, like, hey, listen, mostly all of our customers are trying to solve global problems, or half of them, or what's that look like within the Deft customer portfolio?
I would say probably 40% of our customers we're engaged with are more on a global footprint basis, yeah, right? Whether that's connectivity or, you know, CDN services, or they have an Asia Pac office they need us to help them with connectivity to. So things like that, 60% probably strictly US based.
Yeah. Well, and I think the value of what, you know, the current footprint, their current footprint in the US, their service that you all provide them, you know, to be able to just replicate that in other places as companies grow, I think is obviously one of the greatest services that I'm sure your company and others can provide. And we've especially seen the value of that during the pandemic. I think it was a lot easier for companies to say, hey, right now we don't know what the environment is, so we need to stick with people we know, stick with people that do a great job for us here if we need to grow in other places, versus, you know, going through a process of from a very like physical touring data centers, or, you know, actually like setting up new relationships with companies. So I would imagine that's been a great part of your business, just to have that global footprint and be able to serve customers, you know, in multiple continents.
Yeah. And there's probably a very high percentage of our customers that are in multiple US locations with us as well. Right. So even though Chicago is our biggest market, you may have a very large customer in Chicago.
Yep. But
those customers will typically also have a presence with us in Washington, D.C. or San Jose as well. So.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, I want to end this with the future in mind. So if you're like me, it was fun to put 2020 was great, but it's fun to put it behind us and focus on 2021 and the fact that someday we'll actually be doing these discussions face to face again and all that stuff. But what do you all see for the next year and just the future from Deft? And like, what are you excited about from just an industry standpoint? Chris, we'll start with you, and Tom, we'll finish up with you.
Sure. So the most exciting thing that I see really doesn't have to do with any of the technologies that are out there. I think it's how the application and the understanding of what's there and the way that organizations are recognizing that the capabilities can be used is the most exciting thing, right? There's always going to be something net new that comes on the scene that changes the way people think about a process, think about technology, think about the way an application is built. But ultimately, it's how do those get applied? And what I think we're really going to see in the next year, probably the next 18 to 24 months, is that adoption of what is already there, right? There's been so much innovation that is just going to continue on that bleeding edge. But the number of organizations that use that is super small. They just get, they get a ton of coverage, but it's a very small percentage. And where I think that growth opportunity comes in, and what I think is most exciting, is people reaching back and using things like the AIML platforms that Azure, AWS, GCP have developed. These are amazingly powerful tools, and they're not even close to mature, right? But it's already like, oh yeah, we're past that. We're on to the next thing. It's like, yeah, but we're not. And that idea of that paced growth, of that plan, of really using what's there and applying it to businesses is, I think, the most exciting piece. And when I look at the industry as a whole, kind of the last thing on this, and I'll turn it over to Tom, is that the growth is going to come from organizations aligning the technology with their business. That's the growth, not for us as an organization, for everyone. How are you aligning these capabilities with your business to achieve what you want? And the connection and the closeness of that is going to be something we haven't seen before. And I think that's really the most exciting point, is not just saying, oh, well, it needs to be in the cloud. It's like, why and how, and what does that really mean operationally? And I think that's going to be a super exciting set of developments in the next few years.
Yeah, I'll just add to that, right? I think we were all scared at the beginning of 2020 with the pandemic, what was going to happen to the business, right? And, fortunately, it turned out to be great from a business standpoint for us, right? It was probably one of our best years in terms of growth, right? Not only on the revenue side, but employee side too. I think we added 40 something people in the last 12 months or so. And we're seeing that continue through 2021, right? I think a lot of customers are realizing they don't need to be in the data center anymore. They don't need to have people that need to go look at blinky lights and touch servers and realize that's not the future, just like this whole work from home thing is now a big thing going forward for a lot of organizations. I think a lot of people that may have had that, you know, we need to have our own cage and we need to have our own equipment, you know, that mentality has certainly changed, right? We were certainly involved in a lot of fire drills through, you know, 2020 during the pandemic with organizations that were trying to scramble and grow their infrastructure and handle the work from home and handle connectivity options and VPN options, right? And we don't see that slowing down anytime soon, right? I think, if anything, it's accelerating, right? I think CIOs are realizing that, you know, they don't need to have, you know, people with hands-on equipment anymore in the data center, and they're, you know, they saw the good job we can do for them and, you know, continue to leverage that. So.
Well, Tom, Chris, thank you for taking time to, you know, jump on this video discussion and talk through industry insights, what's happening in the space. Thanks for giving us some clarity around Deft and where you're focused in, you know, the next few years. And I know from my perspective, we'll be excited to see all the success. So once again, thanks for joining us and look forward to seeing you guys again soon.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, David. Appreciate it. Take care.
Bye-bye.